This is your friend John Weldon again. We're going to read from the 18th verse of Revelation chapter 2. In our studies in the book of the Revelation, we have seen already that the Lord himself is the prominent one. This is an unveiling or revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus. Always look for him in the scriptures. And certainly the book of the Revelation ought to give you wonderful views of the Lord Jesus. You ought to see him as he is now, exalted at the right hand of God. The same one, he says, who was dead is now alive. And we see him in chapter 1 as the exalted Son of Man, now in his high priestly garments, standing in the midst of his people. And the seven churches, while they were actually seven churches, give us the seven different conditions in which a local church might find itself. And at the same time, they give us a sort of historical preview, the prophecy of what will happen during the church age from the first century on down to the close, when the Lord Jesus comes back. We have Ephesus, which is first century Christianity, departing, declining, leaving their first love. And Smyrna, which stands for the second and third centuries, the persecution days of the church, from Nero to Diocletian. And then we have just read about Pergamos, which is in the times of Constantine, from the year 325 on, when the church made a bad marriage, began to amalgamate with the world. And now we have the rise of the papacy in verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. The fine brass which burned as in a furnace in chapter 1 speak of judgment. And his eyes as a flame of fire speaks of the penetrating knowledge of our Lord. He knows what's going on, not only in our hearts and in our lives, but in our local congregations of believers. When we profess the name of Christ, he has a right to know what we're doing, what we're saying. Now, this doesn't mean that we are afraid of him in the sense of dreading his presence, but it means a godly reverence for him. Why does he address himself this way to Thyatira? Well, perhaps the name Thyatira would help us here. The name itself is a combination of two words, and it simply means a perpetual sacrifice. Now, why did God choose a church and a city with a name like this? Well, where do we see in Christendom today the bold claims of offering a perpetual sacrifice? Now, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I love the Lord's dear people wherever they may be found. And I think I love the souls of those who have not yet trusted Christ. And I don't want to turn anyone away. I want to help you. But you need to examine the truths of Scripture. You need to find out whether the group with which you're associated is really what it claims to be. Notice what the Lord said to them. He said, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, more works. Yes, lots of works. The last to be more than the first. And you'll find sometimes among churches that make the loudest claims, some very wonderful works, works of charity. But he says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. I've got something against you. What is it? It's just this. Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, literally a sick bed. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, not his children, her children. His children will never be lost. If you really belong to him, you have eternal life, and you shall never perish, according to John 28:29. But her children, children of the false church. Now, in the book of the Revelation, we have two women presented quite prominently. One is called the Bride of Christ, the Lamb's Bride. The other is called the Great Whore, the Great False Woman. The Lord has His real church. This is composed of every true believer from the day of Pentecost on down until the Lord comes back. But Satan has his imitation of this also. And at the present time, there's a great movement on foot to unite all the world churches, the world organizations. And this is going to be. This will be the Babylon the Great, spoken of in chapters 17, 18, and 19 of the book of the Revelation. When the church is gone, the true church, when the Lord comes and takes home His people, there will be a great united church, and this will be the false thing. Well, here we see its rise. Now, there was no such thing as the Roman Catholic hierarchy and the Roman Catholic Church as an organization really recognized until the 7th century. All you need to do is read church history. You will find there was no such thing as a universally recognized pope until the year 606. And you ought to find out for yourself. You ought to read church history. You ought to find out where these things originated. You ought to find out what has developed out of the condition in Pergamos, the days of Constantine on, when it became a time of patronage for the church. When it became a popular thing to be a Christian, there developed a great system. And this system has grown now and has branched off through the Reformation until we have organizations all over the world. But these are not the thing that the Lord Himself founded. Now notice, however, that He writes to this church, because there are some here who really belong to the Lord. And He says this, "Unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come." Those who really belong to the Lord, He loves, and He knows His own, wherever they may be. Now Jezebel was a wicked woman, the wife of Ahab, king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And she was an idolater. She brought Baal worship up from the Mediterranean Sea, seacoast town where her father was a prominent man, a king. She brought this in among the people of God. And she supported personally perhaps some 800 priests, priests of Baal and priests of the groves. You remember that Elijah challenged them on the mount and slew that many. And these were all being fed at Queen Jezebel's table. And Jezebel was a woman who wrote decrees in the name of the king and signed them with the king's ring. She took to herself an authority which she never possessed. Furthermore, she taught a doctrine which was not true. And furthermore, she instituted idolatrous sacrifices which were not according to the word of God. Do I have to say more? Can't you see what is going on in Christendom today? Now, the Lord told them that they who belong to Him should hold fast till He came. If you have true faith in the Lord Jesus, this you have apart from any church, for churches cannot impart faith, they cannot impart eternal life. The church has never been given the right of assigning your eternal destiny. This is a matter between you and the Lord. Whatever church you belong to or don't belong to, you have to have personal dealings with the Lord. And if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you ought to do so right at this moment. And if you have done so, you should give the Lord Jesus Himself full credit for your salvation and for everything. You should give the Lord Jesus credit for being your master and leader. You should accept the Word of God as the only rule of life. Now He says, I'm going to have to come to you. I'm going to have to correct some things among you which are not right. If you will overcome, that is, if you will believe me, because 1 John 5 tells us this is that which overcometh the world, even your faith. If you will trust me, he said, I'm going to give you, as a reward, power over the nations. It has always been the dream of organized religion to hold sway over those in authority. And history shows us that a good many ecclesiastical dignitaries have achieved this. They have held power over the rulers of this world. The Lord says, you be willing to wait until my time, and I'll see that you have authority and power. The reigning time is coming for Christians. It isn't now. No Christian should be on a throne now. We should be willing to wait for that time when the Lord Jesus is given his throne, and we'll be allowed to sit with him on his throne and have power over the nations. And then, as he has received of his Father, we shall receive of him. And further he says, I will give him the morning star. Now the mention of the Lord's coming here in this letter to Thyatira is the first mention among these, in the letters written to these seven churches. The last four churches then, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, we believe, for in each of these, mention is made of the coming of the Lord. We believe that these four conditions will continue right on to the end. And we see the conditions of Thyatira in the world today. The Lord asks us then to turn our eyes upward and to believe that the morning star is about to appear. If you're not saved, this is the worst thing possible that could happen to you. For the Lord Jesus to return at this minute would mean that you would never have another opportunity to be saved. For a Christian, this is our brightest hope. The Lord Jesus is coming back. To us, the morning star means the end of a long night. God grant that he will come soon. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy Son. We pray for blessing, salvation for those who are not saved, and restoration and spiritual health for those who are. In Jesus' name, amen.